travel on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Flying you to over 200 destinations is our business. What you do there is yours.
A tourism company is offering tours of Ukrainian cities, but is it ethical or even doable? And what does the growth of dark tourism say about how we travel now? Paul O'Connella, Irish Independent travel editor, joins us. Dark tourism is going to places like, in this instance, war-torn Ukraine, where you might otherwise think, no.
Absolutely. But there's a whole spectrum of it. I was trying to come up with a definition of dark tourism for you this morning. And this is a term that has been in use for a couple of decades now. But it's basically travel that involves sites of disaster or the macabre or such. And this is one that caught my eye. Now, I should preface it by saying the official travel advice is do not travel to Ukraine. There's no airlines flying there. There's martial law in place. But there are checkpoints on the border with several countries that are open. Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, or Romania, for example. And there is a tour company. It's called visitukraine.today, who's been doing tours of the cities. Have a think about how it's casting this now. It's not saying this is lurid and this is voyeuristic. This is saying it's a chance to follow in the footsteps of defenders and to see how cities are recovering, and to look into the eyes of people for whom life will never be the same as before. Now, how does that make you feel?
If you're in the middle of armed conflict, do you really want to see people walking around with their camera phones taking pictures of your suffering?
That's a fantastic question. And I had a very similar feeling at a different site earlier this year. It was in, do you remember last winter a volcano erupted on the Canary island of La Palma? Now, this was catastrophic locally. No one was killed, thankfully, but over 1,000 people were left homeless. And the sight of this great river of lava just cutting a community in half and flowing all the way down to the sea was absolutely stunning. I was in La Palma. I went to visit it and to kind of get up and close and personal with a natural disaster like this is just mind-blowing. But there was literally a bank that had been ripped in half by the lava flow. Like the ATM had been burst in. I met people on the island who were living in camper vans afterwards. So I had that exact feeling. Am I doing something wrong here? Or is this a natural kind of curiosity? Do I want to learn from this? And there was one interesting response from the Canary Islands Tourism Board, whom I asked about it afterwards. She said the Canary Islands were formed like this by these volcanoes, and we have got museums and interpretive centres about volcanoes and about how, and hopefully in the years to come, as they rebuild, maybe there'll be another one here and maybe it'll actually...
I wonder though, is the dividing line between whether or not it is ethically all right, is it whether or not the incident is still occurring? Because one of the you'll know the site well, but one of the most striking sites I've ever been to is the beaches of Utah and Omaha and Normandy, where when you go, it gives you that sense of understanding of the worst that humanity can do to itself and what it must have been like. That's, I think, morally all right. Going to it during the D-Day landings might have been slightly inappropriate.
Yeah, well, not to mention hazardous. But that's a great point. I was trying to see for how long has this been going on. Is this kind of a modern thing? Are we interested in this stuff due to where we're at culturally or whatever? But actually, there were tours to watch the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. I had discovered that nobility observed the battle, and I quote here, from a safe distance.
While it was ongoing.
Isn't that... I don't know what to think about that. It's crazy. But that's exactly what you're talking about. But that's an interesting place to draw the line, because there is just... This is, once you start talking about it, it's an ethical spaghetti. Do you remember the Ground Zero 9/11 attacks in New York? Here's another example. So clearly there was the event itself, but in the aftermath of that, in the days and weeks, loads of people flocked down once it was safe to do so to have a look at the devastation and destruction there. Part of that was clearly just kind of eyeballing and rubbernecking. There was a sense of voyeurism about it, but part of it was just people trying to understand and trying to maybe leave a commemorative item or pay their respects in some way. Since then, have you been to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum?
No.
But it took so long to get it done, and it was so politicized and so expensive. But it is just an amazing example of a memorial that is tasteful, powerful. In the where the Twin Towers used to be, there's these giant square footprints with water cascading over the edges, leaving this these two big vacuums. And the names of all of the victims are on the stone around these. And then you go down into a subterranean museum, which is just you would be shook after visiting it. It transports you back to the day, and it's done really well, you know, with the involvement of the families and so on. I came away feeling like I'd learnt, it had been respectful and so on. But then other things are done just purely with titillation in mind. So I think that's a...
Well, can I ask you about one very close to home, which is, of course, the Titanic Museum? Because yeah. Harland and Wolff built, if I have this right, there was the Britannic, the Titanic and the Olympic, all of which were essentially more or less the same ship, three sister ships. That, and the Olympic and Britannic went on for a number of years thereafter. So the only thing that sets the Titanic apart is tragedy, is the horror of mass yeah. death. Yet we've turned it into a tourist attraction.
It is, and they'd be very careful with the language they use around it. It's always about commemorate and not celebrate and so on. And the anniversaries, like it was the 100th anniversary, and then was it even the 110th coming up? I can't remember what it was. 1912 it happened. But that's a massive attraction for Belfast, and that has been, arguably, has been contributed to the city being able to reboot itself from, ironically, like a destination associated with the Troubles to one associated with tourism. But I can go one better. On the Titanic, there are tours in a submersible craft to the wreck site that you can take. Now, they fit five people and they cost $250,000 a pop.
250 grand to go down and see the Titanic.
Yes. So five people get in. You all have your own iPad and screen so you can watch the sonar recordings. There are portholes looking out. It takes 90 minutes to go down the 2.5 miles to the wreck site. And then you, there's some scientific stuff that's done. But really, anyone going for this wants to see, you know, just to eyeball the thing out of a porthole window. And then you spend about 3 hours exploring the wreck and its debris field. And then you ascend to the surface. Not $250,000 lighter.
I read a very interesting thing recently by Bob Ballard, the man who found the Titanic, who said that the reason that he was out there had nothing to do with the Titanic. The CIA funded him to go find two Russian subs, and they told him that if he did it fast enough, he could go look for the Titanic in the remaining days while he was out there. On the topic, though, coming back to Ireland, yeah. we actually do it more than just the Titanic. Kilmainham Jail is a case in point. It's tourism around human suffering,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
It's great. Once you open up this discussion, I was thinking, was Bail na Blá an example last week? Because obviously we had the Michael Collins thing. There is a website called dark-tourism.com, and I was trying to gauge the scale of this. It has something like 1,000 sites across 115 countries. So I looked up Ireland. It's run by a German guy with an academic background. And Ireland under it, he says, Ireland is absolutely steeped in darkness, from Viking raids to centuries of repression by the English. You mentioned Kilmainham. He mentions the famine. He mentions emigration and all sorts of other stuff, even post-Celtic Tiger ghost housing estates.
As a tourist destination.
There's an idea for your next holiday, your next day. isn't it intriguing, though, that you have this urge to just see stuff that's gone wrong or that is ghostly or that is macabre, and at the same time, you just have this conflict within you that what you're doing is wrong.
But some of it presumably is very important, because if you take, for instance, I mean, all joking aside, if you look at what they have managed to do with Auschwitz, they now bring hundreds of thousands of people every year to see it, which is a form of tourism. People pay to go and see it. But they go to see it to understand and to learn and to experience something that has to change them.
It's a fabulous example. And my own daughter went there, school tours that go there. We had this big chat before she went about would she be ready for it and what she might see and so on. And I think Robben Island in South Africa is another good example. I took a tour. That's where Nelson Mandela was famously imprisoned. And I took a tour there. The tours were run by former prisoners. So there was just no sense of you taking, you know, stupid selfies or making jokes. This was just so somber and so well handled from the beginning to the end. And obviously there's always going to be some people, you know, acting out, but Auschwitz is the same, that the way it's handled, they say children under 14 shouldn't go. It's very, very somber. I don't know if you've been yourself, but it's just about an hour's journey from Krakow. Many people do it as part of a trip to Krakow.
To come full circle, we began talking about people who are going to Ukraine by virtue of the conflict that is currently there. Although, again, the DFA's recommendation is that you do not do that. Yeah. But to some extent, there was an element of that tourism beginning in Ukraine around Chernobyl. Chernobyl was becoming a focus of tourist interest.
That's a perfect example. And before Yeah, before the conflict, there were even, it had got to the point where there were stag parties that were including trips inside the exclusion zone on their itinerary. So you could, Kiev was, hard to believe as it is now, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, Kiev was an up-and-coming city for city breaks in Europe. Now it's clearly collapsed in terms of tourism. But yes, Chernobyl. So and remember the Sky series, they had done a TV series about it, which kind of rebooted its popularity. And, you know, so, OK, sounds weird, sounds crazy. Why would people do this? But then what you got to experience is this kind of a sense of a ghost town in Pripyat. Abandoned hotels, even a Ferris wheel left kind of just with the wind blowing through it, abandoned housing. Wildlife had started to reclaim the area. There were lynxes, there were wolves, there were great eagle owls around the area. And they had said, the way they put this was, if you could go for a limited amount of time, your personal safety wasn't in jeopardy because of whatever the radiation levels were. And so that's how it was kind of spun as potential tourist site.
Paul, thank you so much. That is Paul O'Connell, who is Irish Independent travel editor.